I was born in Haleyville, Alabama, in Winston County, May the 28th, 1936. Born in at home. That was in Alabama, still in the heart of the Depression, and the only hospital in that area was an old house that had been converted to a hospital, and very few people went to the hospital. I mean, if you went to the hospital in those days, you were almost doomed to die. I attended school in Haleyville, both elementary school and through the eighth grade in high school, and then the ninth and tenth grades in high school. My family had moved to California, and they moved to California to try to have a better life, and I went to school there in the ninth and tenth grades. And then I moved back to Alabama because I didn't really like California, and I didn't find any opportunities for a young person to get any kind of job. There's no way you could get any kind of job in California before you were 16. And after I came back from California in 1952, I started in the at the radio station WJBB in Haleyville. I'd always kind of wanted to be in radio, and started through the DO program at the high school. That was Diversified Occupations. Later on, it became DE, Diversified Education, and I think they call it something else now, but you go to school for half day and required the basic and take the required basic core subjects, and you work the other half of the day. And I started the WJBB in Haleyville in 1952, and my job was an announcer. And of course, back in those days in radio, we carried a good many network programs, and so really the only thing that you had to do was keep the levels, volume levels set correctly, and watch the transmitter and take transmitter meter readings. I worked at WJBB from 1952 until 1954, and at that time I moved to WAJF in Decatur. And the reason that I moved, that was right in the middle of my senior year in high school, and I had been making 75 cents an hour working part-time at WJBB in Haleyville. And at Decatur, I was going to be able to go to school and work full-time and make a dollar an hour, and that was obviously quite a bit of difference. And so I moved from Haleyville to Decatur and worked at WAJF in Decatur, doing regular disc jockey work. The shift that I had at that time was 3 o'clock in the afternoon until 11 at night, and going to high school in the daytime. And I stayed there through the time I finished high school in 1954, and then until spring of 1955. And at that time, I moved to WSUH in Oxford, Mississippi. A brand new station went on the air in May the 1st of 1955, and I was an announcer and more or less what you'd say the program director, because we had an extremely small staff, and I kind of took care of the inside stuff. And all during the time I was in Decatur and at WSUH in Oxford, I picked up extra money by climbing towers. I knew a little bit about the technical side of radio, and you didn't have to know a lot to change light bulbs on a tower, but it was extremely hard work and kind of dangerous work, and very few people wanted to do it, and I could make $25 in a couple of hours by climbing a tower, so I did that at the stations that I worked at and for a lot of other people. I stayed at Oxford, Mississippi from April the 1st of 1955 until 1959, and at that time I was able, along with two other people, to buy WTRO in Dyersburg, Tennessee. And I moved to Dyersburg, Tennessee, and stayed from 1959 until January of 1961, and that proved not a very lucrative situation, in that we had a competitor that had a radio station and his parents also on the newspaper, and they always teamed up against us and would give the clients extremely low rates of advertising if they would exclude us, which was against the federal law, but we never went to the expense and time and tried to disrupt the community by taking them to federal court or anything. But anyway, it made it extremely difficult to do business in Dyersburg. And in January of 1961, I traded my one-third interest in WTRO in Dyersburg for 5% interest in WLAY, move to WLAY and Muscle Shoals, coming to WLAY as sales manager and morning announcer. And I stayed in that job until 1970. And in 1970, myself and two other people bought WMSL in Decatur, Alabama. And we kept that arrangement, the arrangement in WLAY and the arrangement in WMSL in Decatur, until 1971. We had several managerial changes at WMSL in Decatur, and we decided that one of the three of us was going to have to go manage that station. And so one of the partners took that station, and the other two of us took WLAY. And at that time, I acquired a major interest in WLAY, and have since 1971 been the president and general manager. I've been involved in a lot of activities in the broadcasting business. I guess the first outside activity was the Alabama Broadcasters Association. I became a member of their board of directors in 1973 and stayed either a member of the board or an officer through 1982. And in the year 1982, I was served as president of the Alabama Broadcasters Association. And the very next year of 83, was reelected to their board of directors, and I still serve as a member of the board of directors of the Alabama Broadcasters Association. And in 1986, I ran for and was elected to the board of directors of the National Association of Broadcasters. This is, to me, quite an honor and quite a learning experience on my part. I was elected by the stations in Alabama and Georgia to represent those two states on the 35-member board of directors of the National Association of Broadcasters. And these 35 board members have the responsibility of about 135 or 40 person staff at the National Association headquarters in Washington. And we have an annual operating budget of around $13 million. So it's quite a responsibility and quite an honor. And I've been able to learn a lot of things, and I think it'll help me in running a day-to-day radio station. I was elected for a two-year term, and in December of 88, I ran for re-election. I was re-elected for another two-year term, and at the end of that time, unless I move up into the, as to be an officer of the NAB on the executive committee or something, I'd have to to relinquish the job, stay out of office for at least 4 years before I'd be allowed to run again. I have been a member of a number of different organizations. One of the organizations that I helped organize and operated for a number of years was the Muscle Shoals Business and Professional Association. It's kind of like a chamber of commerce. The people in Muscle Shoals felt like that the Chamber of Commerce was not adequately representing the city of Muscle Shoals. We felt mostly like it was a chamber that represented the city of Sheffield. And we formed our own organization. It was very functional and did function up until the time that the Chamber of Commerce combined with the Lauderdale County Chamber of Commerce, and we have now one chamber that represents the entire area. And we felt like that our mission had been completed and our organization was disbanded, and most people were encouraged to go in and support the Chamber of Commerce. In 1985, the Florence Times, Tri-Cities Daily newspaper, conducted a poll of the Colbert and Lauderdale County areas, and they wanted to know the most influential people in the area, and I was chosen as one of the 50 most influential people in Colbert and Lauderdale counties. And although I was never in politics as a candidate, I've always been interested in politics. Even back in the early 60s when I first came to Muscle Shoals, I was always quite active in politics, and for a number of years I was the campaign manager for two of the three city commissioners in Muscle Shoals in a number of different elections. The mayor, Shanky Sharp, I ran his campaign on at least three separate occasions. In 1976, I was heavily involved in Ronnie Flippo's first campaign for the United States Congress, and we've been very close friends ever since. And in 1978, I was heavily involved in Howell Heflin's statewide campaign for United States Senator. And as a matter of fact, I placed all of his radio advertising on a statewide basis at that time. Of course, he paid for the advertising, but he did not have to pay an advertising agency fee, and I saved him approximately $10,000 in doing that. And of course, we were friends before that, even friends when He was the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, but we've been extremely close friends since then, and usually we're together with him two or three times a year on social occasions.